This is a production of Cornell University.
Okay, hello everyone, welcome back. I'd like to call the meeting to order. So welcome back. There is a slight delay in the group that should be here, so we'll go ahead and work on that, but we can get started on the meeting. So I'm going to do roll call. So first is Arts and Humanities, Paul. I'm here, Rebecca. Okay, thank you. Life Sciences, Ariel. Okay, thank you, Ariel. Madison. Okay, thank you. And Leo. Thank you. Physical Science and Engineering, Casey.
Here.
Thank you. Joel. Thank you. Cody. Cody, good. Nathan Munson.
Here.
Thank you, Nathan. Wade Anderson. John today. Amy Johnson, voting member, sorry, please to the meeting. No? Okay. From the vet school, Abby Woods. Okay, thank you, Abby. Amanda? No, Amanda. Alicia? 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 Alicia, thank you, Alicia. And then, Vinny Wong? And then you come up. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Kristen. Thank you, Kristen. Thank you, Alexa. Okay, Kristen. And social scientist, Michael. Thank you, Michael. Megan. Thank you, Megan. Megan Solomon. She's going to be gone. And Jerry. Thank you, Jerry. And Victoria. Okay. Thank you very much. We'll move on to the second part of the meeting, which is approval of the minutes. Do we have any amendments or comments or questions on the minutes from the September 19th? I see none. Okay, there's been a motion to vote. Is there any dissent on the minutes for September 9th? Okay, is there a second? Okay, there's a second. Okay, any dissent? Okay, minutes from the September 9th meeting are approved. Let's move on to minutes from the September 23rd meeting. Any comments or amendments that you can make?
So, under the minutes for the 11th, there was a typo in the election. It says that
there's
an
NA
for the vice president of
communications,
but the new vice president
of communications. Okay, so is that a formal motion to amend the minutes to reflect Kelly Tejeda as a new VP comment?
Yeah.
Okay, is there a second? Okay, there's a second. Okay, any dissent? I see none. Okay, the motion to include VP Tom Taylor to the minute has passed. And then we vote on this one.
We can vote on that.
Okay, so I don't have the minutes here.
Oh, okay.
But is there a motion to call to question the minutes? Okay. Is there any dissent to not vote on the minutes? There is a second. There's a second. Is there a dissent? There's not a dissent. Okay. Minutes for the September 23rd. With that small segue, we're going to learn all about how to do this. So you're going to teach us about shared governance and
great, thank you. How do I plug into
Well, good afternoon, everybody. I'm Gina Giambattista. I'm the Director of the Office of the Assemblies, and thank you all for your participation in shared governance at Cornell. Shared governance has a long and strong history at Cornell and some unique attributes. Collectively, the assemblies are considered shared governance, and participation in shared governance in the university decision making by students, faculty, staff in areas of direct and joint concern to them, which is sort of what the delegated authority is. So the faculty have a Senate and the staff and the students have assemblies. And like legislative bodies in our government, the assemblies are elected, representative, constituent bodies with some amount of delegated authority to affect, direct, or recommend policies to the highest levels of, well, in our case, the university. Shared governance is a term we use broadly to include the assemblies, the faculty senate, and the constituent elected trustees. There are two, actually this year there are three the student elected trustees. We have two undergraduates and one, in this case, a graduate elected trustee. Those are fairly unique, and there's also a staff represented trustee. To have full voting membership at the level of Board of Trustees. These aren't just ex officio members, these are full voting members. And the Board of Trustees really, really likes to hear from students. So our student trustees particularly are exceptionally engaged in the governance of the institution. Cornell shared governance bodies are an outgrowth of the unrest on campus in 1969, which culminated in a mass meeting of over 7,000 people camped out in Barton Hall for 3 days discussing conditions on campus. You may have seen the front page of today's Cornell Daily Sun where there's a commemorative plaque placed, I think it was on Friday, related to these events. Outcomes of those events from 1969 included the assemblies, the university ombudsman, and the campus code of conduct. And this is an image from a meeting at the university assembly just 2 years ago. So they're still in action. Every member of the Cornell community has representation in shared governance. My goal when I took on this role was I didn't know anything about it, and I figured there were probably many other folks on campus, students, faculty, and staff, who also didn't know anything about what shared governance was. So our goal in the office is to make sure that everybody is aware you have representation. You may choose to not participate, but you should know that you have avenues for participation. In most cases, it's going to be through you all. You're the voices to the corners of the university that bring that back, and then through the functions of the assembly, make sure that those voices are carried through to the administration. So we have the employee assembly, the GPSA, the SA, and the faculty senate. And unique to Cornell is what we have, the university assembly, where members from each of the constituent assemblies appoint members that take up issues related to the entire campus. So this year we're talking about revisions to the campus code of conduct. There's talk of a smoke-free campus. I'm talking about some of the infrastructure and parking needs. The assemblies, like the Faculty Senate, receive their authorities from the Board of Trustees. This authority includes recommending changes to university policies that affect constituents, subject to the approval of the President, who reviews and responds to all resolutions or legislations passed by the assembly. What do we do in the office? Well, we provide support to all of the assemblies, your committees, we maintain the public record, we're the exchequer of the process, we elevate, promote, and encourage participation in shared governance, we support all the campus elections, and we make a lot of placards. So if you need a placard and don't have one, please let us know. We manage a lot of data and data sets. We work closely with the registrar and HRIS to have current, correct data for all of our members, for all of the constituents, for mailings and elections. And what do we do for you? Well, we support the GPSA and its committees. We maintain a website with tools for members of the assemblies and their committees. And we're here to serve as a resource for any matters related to the GPSA, the assemblies, or shared governance in general. Our office is in Day Hall. We're in 109 Day Hall. Our door is usually open. And we encourage or invite you all to stop by if you're ever on Central Campus or have a question or even just would like to swing by and see what we do. The structure of shared governance, as you can see, these are sort of the purviews and the areas of authority. The legislative authority for each of the assemblies is delegated from the president and the board of trustees. And again, it's important to remember that this authority is delegated and not transferred. The faculty senate does have policy. It has authority over some of the academic policy, but all of the other resolutions and legislative actions through the assembly must be approved by the president. All assemblies have a mandate to represent constituent interests and bring issues of concern to the university leadership. The Office of the Assemblies is housed in university relations, and oftentimes we get the question, why is it there and not in the Dean of Students or someplace else? Really, the assemblies serve as a communications conduit, and so communications falls within the purview of university relations. It really is making sure that the bodies, the constituent bodies, and the university leadership have direct access to hear from each other. So that's what we try to make sure happens. The legislative authority to recommend changes to university policies that affect constituents are subject to the approval of the president. I know I've said it before, it just bears repeating. Here again, the legislative authority of the assemblies for the GPSAs of the graduate school and some of the non-academic policies. All assemblies are ruled by your governing documents. Some may be changed internally, some require the approval of the president, but these are your documents, and there are some processes to change, amend, or table. I know at last week's meeting, there was a wonderful handbook that really sort of summarized and made a lot more digestible a lot of the governing documents, but the governing documents are essentially the Constitution. These are the basic tenets of the assembly. They can be changed, and there's processes to change those. The charter has to be approved by the president of the university. So the charter are the basic rules of the assembly, the stringent amendment requirements, and as I just said, must be approved by the president of the university. The bylaws are the detailed procedures and rules for assembly and committee operations. Usually they can be amended by a simple majority here in the assembly. Standing rules, they don't persist from year to year. They only exist for the term of the assembly, and they can be approved by the assembly. We're getting into the gist of the matter, going through the motions. Who is Robert in all these Robert's rules? What are all his rules about? So, as you can see, Henry Martin Robert was a brigadier general, and he created these after a bad church meeting. So if you think politics are bad, you know, all of this formality stemmed from something that should have been a little bit more civil. But I think what we understand is that people disagree, and that's going to be okay. So Robert's New Rules of Order is a set of rules for conduct at meetings that allows everyone to be heard and allows the assembly to make decisions without confusion. With sensitivities to those members less comfortable with speaking up and in an effort to engage those to whom elected roles may be new, the use of Robert's Rules of Order ensures there's space at the table for every voice, the loud and the quiet. And that's really important. The role of the chair is to moderate the debate unless they're engaged in the debate or in the issue or resolution, in which case the role of moderator and authority of chair moves to the executive vice chair until the matter is settled and a vote is taken. A quorum is the minimum number of voting members required to do business, usually 50% plus one. So that's why we take attendance. If there is a quorum, there's no meeting. So it's really, again, it's super important that you attend for your participation, but actually the meeting couldn't take place if you weren't here. So again, thank you very much. A motion is an action considered by the assembly. If it's on the floor, it means that it is in a state of actively being considered by the assembly. Having the floor means you have the exclusive right to address the assembly regarding a motion. And an executive session is any portion of a meeting open only to voting members of the assembly. Could be non-voting members, and it could be other members included at the discretion of the chair. The basic principles of parliamentary procedure and Robert's rules are courtesy and justice for all, consideration of only one subject at a time, the rights of absent members should be protected, the minority must be heard, and the will of the majority must prevail. So the next few slides are about the process of moving through a legislative agenda. A motion is a proposal that an assembly can take certain action or that it expresses itself as holding certain views. There's some steps in the process. It must be recognized by the chair. Then you can make a motion. Somebody must second the motion. All of this just happened as you were passing the, as you were approving your minutes from the last few meetings. When you're debating your motions, listen to the other side and focus on the issues and not personalities. Avoid questioning motives and be polite. I know it sort of goes without saying, but oftentimes in the heat of the moment, if it's a particularly, there's some dissent or a conflict on the floor, it really, these four things are really important when you're debating the motion. Remember, you're all colleagues, classmates, Cornellians, and it's, let the forum be the expression of different viewpoints, not attack on individuals. So a couple ways to get your point across. There's you can call for a point of order or a point of privilege. Both of those are addressed to the chair. There's different ways to call for a vote. In this case, there was a unanimous consent to approve the minutes. You could do a roll call vote. Again, and one of the, you can do vote for, against, or abstain. The use of an abstention should only be used in case there is a direct conflict of interest. So don't use that just to pass because you don't want to engage in the argument. Remember, you're here representing people, so your voice is very, very important. Again, there's unanimous consent. If even one member objects, the chair must then state the question and follow the complete voting guideline. These are some things to do about writing a resolution, which, do you want me to go through these? Okay. A resolution is an action, a legislative action that the assembly can use, either, again, to express a viewpoint or ask for something to be done. But before you get to that point, there are some things that we really encourage. One is engage the stakeholders. Typically, the stakeholders for a resolution from the assembly are going to include probably at the very least the graduate school. They may include a member of the administration. They may be a department on campus. Our office is very happy to serve as a resource to sort of point you in directions if you're not quite sure who to engage as a stakeholder. I also encourage you to use the resources that we have, both online and hard copy in our office, to see if the issue has come up before, because there's some rich history in a lot of the legislative history from assemblies in years gone by. And you might see if it was a similar idea, how it was discussed and how it was spent, and give you some pointers on how to frame up your issue or the initiative that you have right now in a way that could have a different outcome. There's, again, still more things to do before you can begin writing the resolution. Re-engage the stakeholders. And then once you have all of the information and the background and the stakeholder input, then begin the process of drafting your resolution. Make sure it's drafted as an initial resolution. There are committees that the assembly has. It's structured so that resolutions and actions come up through committees to the assembly floor, and then the voting members would vote on those here during an open session of the assembly. One thing in the executive session, no actions can actually take place. You can't vote on policy. There can be no votes, and that is intentionally to make sure that there's both transparency and record that any member of the community could go back and look at. This is just a quick checklist if you're drafting resolutions. And again, by the point you've done all this, you should have a pretty good idea of how the debate and the vote will go before it gets to the floor. If you've engaged your stakeholders, you've gone to the committees, you've had the conversations with your constituents, you'll have a pretty good idea if it's going to be a robust discussion, if it's going to how it might play out, and that's again to your benefit, so that you don't go through a tremendous effort, but bring it to the floor and have it dismissed or tabled or called for an amendment, and it just you'll have to go back and revisit the process, which isn't a bad thing, but the more you can do in advance is always good. So this is just a quick wrap-up of Robert's rules. Going through the motions, you make a motion, another voting member seconds the motion, the chair puts the motion on the floor by restating it and allowing for debate, and then there's a vote. And the vote count is always announced also, both for the record and to make sure that with clarity and certainty, the majority wins. So again, that's one of the important tenets of parliamentary procedure. So it's the responsibility of the chair to announce that. So that's an awful lot in a quick period of time, but please be in touch. It helps us help you if you're in touch with us, and if you have any questions, give us your candid feedback both on interactions with the office, on our website, and the tools that we offer. Tell us how we can help you succeed, because we're here to serve and support all of you as assembly members and committee members. So let me know how we can do that. Do you have any questions? Yes? Sure. I should introduce Ashlyn as our clerk. Ashlyn is a senior. She's clerked for the GPSA for the past 2 years. We have a student staff, and we're in transition right now of hiring our senior coordinator. So we'll be a staff of two. But anybody you'd like to reach, you can do at assembly@cornell.edu. singular assembly@cornell.edu. That comes to me, and eventually will come to our senior coordinator as well.
Any other questions for Gina? Thank you very much,
great.
Gina.
Sure.
And now, our Executive Vice President, Alexa, is going to reintroduce Graduate and Professional Community Initiative. So if you came to our meeting last year, you know what that is. But this, for the new members who we did have quite a bit of a turnover, this will introduce you to what we're trying to do, which is a big goal of ours for this year. So I will pass on with the mic to Alexa. She can talk to us about the Graduate Professional Community Initiative.
Right. So as Andy already said, that if you are even part of the PPSA, you know this, and I'm sorry that I keep harping about this, but it's super important. So if you're a new member, you've probably heard us say GPCI before. It's kind of been like, what the heck is that? There are so many acronyms in this assembly, like how am I going to remember everything? But this is a pretty important one, and I'm going to give you a brief background into it and show you how to provide input. So the GPCI is basically a strategic plan that is created by the GPSA, so graduate and professional student representatives, that is used to identify and address issues related to non-academic graduate and professional student life. So it's been written every 5 years since 2008, and Cornell administration really looked at this as a roadmap to help decide on important policy decisions in the future. So the graduate school looks highly upon the student and campus life in Willard Straight Hall really looks highly upon this. So it's a super important document. And as I mentioned, it was created in 2008, and it was created because graduate and professional students really wanted this opportunity to present a large document that really outlined what they wanted. So in 2007, it was originally introduced, but because of the recession, it had to be sidelined, and then it was reintroduced in 2008 with the first iteration, which is actually the Graduate Community Initiative. It became the Graduate and Professional Community Initiative in 2013, where professional students' issues were included more widely in the document. So 2018 should have been when we were going to redo this iteration of the GCCI, but there were some issues the year before, starting a committee to work on it, and then last year we started working on it, but unfortunately there hasn't been a lot of feedback from the community, and we need the community to help us write a community initiative. Otherwise, it's not really a community initiative. So you're probably wondering, why should we care about the GCCI instead of a resolution, which Gina just said goes directly to the Office of the President? But resolutions are usually only used to outline deficiencies in current issues and policies, and it is just trying to ask the administration to investigate a certain problem, whereas the GCCI is more of a framework for future discussions and future policy. So it gives the graduate school and other administration the objectives and steps to achieve objectives to improve the graduate and professional student experience. So it is a community initiative, as I said, so we want as many people involved as possible. And there was also a resolution, I guess it's now 2 years ago, that made it a requirement for voting members specifically to get involved. But we also would like everyone in the CCSA, so field reps and tier 3-4 representatives, to also get involved in this. So the areas of focus are listed here, and if you are an area chair, can you actually raise your hand? I think we only have a few. So Andy does sense of community, Alex does housing, Eugene's not raising his hand, but he does diversity. And I think that's everyone we have here. Brianna is not on campus in Ithaca, she's in Geneva, so she's best reached by email. And Kavya is also not here this semester because she is doing field work. But most of the other people are usually around for meetings. So if you're interested in having a larger role in actually writing the document, I would suggest reaching out to those area chairs that I showed previously. But then there's also a way for you to see the first draft that has already been written and contribute your thoughts. So I'm going to show you how to do that because I've heard that it's kind of confusing to people. And I really just, everyone in this room should at least look at it and know where it is. So you go to theassembly.cornell.edu and then you go to get involved, input and issues, and then it's right here. It says share your ideas to enhance graduate and professional student life at Cornell. And you can press this sidebar here that says provide input, and then all of the areas are here. And if you click on diversity, for instance, it shows you, or let's not click on diversity. Family services is a great one. Okay, so for family services, you can click on, I picked the wrong person. You can click on the draft that shows you what is in the actual section of the GCCI, and you can read it if that's a particular issue that's important to you. And then you can log in using your NetID and leave your comments there. Unfortunately, if you would rather remain anonymous, the interface for this website does not allow that. There's a comment, and you can see that somebody has left something here, and unfortunately you can see her name. But if you don't feel comfortable leaving a comment on the website, I encourage you to email the area chairs individually, which again is listed on the website. So, does anyone have any questions about that? Yeah.
Sorry, I
Okay, let's go back. So where did you get lost?
Okay, so I'm on Office of the Assembly.
Assembly.cornell.edu.
If there's help in the area, let's home, get involved, input in issues.
Get involved, input in issues. And then it's the first box on the left.
It changes its word.
Yeah, so it says UTCI when you're not hovering over it, but when you hover over it, it says share your ideas. Yeah, I'll email out the link. I've emailed it out before, but I know that it's confusing, especially with like the different areas to provide input for, but I just wanted to show everyone how to set it. Yeah, also the
video.
Yeah.
What do you hope you didn't have?
Yeah. Right. So, the biggest issue right now is getting public comment. We've had it open for comment for 6 months at this point, and we've received one comment, the one that you saw. So, Yeah, right, and that's the problem, is there's this block of not being able to figure out and navigate the website.
Even if all the first part of that,
yeah, okay, noted. But to answer your question, we are hoping to continue the comments until the end of the semester, and then deliver a draft to the assembly next semester and complete it and have it turned in and voted on by the end of next semester. So we really, really need your help, especially field reps, disseminating this information to your field, because I can post in the graduate school announcements all I want, but nobody's going to look at them. Half the people don't want them.
And as Alexa mentioned, this is a strategic plan. So part of our efforts through the GTSA is to use this and to maybe through our committees come up with an actionable item. If you see them, there's a lot of things like provide a circulator within the next 3 years to transportation. So maybe through our different committees, we can engage and tackle some of these actionable items. And that's something that we will discuss with the committee there. But if we can get more engagement from you guys by submitting information, like feedback, or just being an action member for making this document happen, then it's going to be much more productive document, because the graduate school and the university does see this as a very serious document. And if you will be having a meeting coming in next year, this is like their plan, their 5-year plan. So it's a long-term thing. So just because it's submitted by hopefully next semester doesn't mean that you won't be doing this work. Does anyone have any other questions for Alexa? GTCI or how to get involved again?
Yeah, so we've been posting it in the graduate school announcements. I've reached out to all of the professional schools to also have it sent out in their announcement, which is a little bit more difficult because I don't actually receive that email, so I don't know if it actually gets put in or not, but I kind of cross my fingers and hope. We also have been posting it on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram. I mean, if you have any ideas of how to engage the community more, like, I am very receptive. So, once a month, correct, Tina? Yeah. So, we do have that access.
Okay, because I don't know what the green rate is for a lot of these things, but when you're getting newsletters every Monday that are very it's kind of thing.
Right. Right. And that's a big problem. And that's why I really also would like field reps to try their best to disseminate this information, because it's coming from a field member and you're able to recognize the name and actually open the email instead of saying, oh, this girl Alexa Cohn emails me all the time. Who is she? But thank you. Yeah.
Any other comments, suggestions, questions?
A general question about, how, I know this is a ridiculous question to ask, but how big of apps can we do in this document? Because I always have people in my constituents, whatever, so I would be we would love if gyms were free again, or we would love if, buses were free. Are those the kind of things that need to happen? Or is that a lot of feedback that I actually get? Are we doing things that are going to subtly notice the administration? Sorry if that's a really blunt way to ask.
So it does have to be feasible. So getting buses for free is not a feasible thing, but getting a free campus wide transporter is a more feasible option. So it can be an aim or a request that is going to take the whole 5 years to do, but it can't So there's a lot of research that goes into these documents. So there are some barriers for some of those super outlandish requests that just can't be done because of administration things. And for example, free buses is just not feasible because of the contract Cornell has with TCAT. So I might have just made it more confusing, but does that make sense?
But at this point, any feedback is
good. Yeah.
I
was going to elaborate on that answer. So basically, we more or less break down this request and do things that they can easily do, things that are a bit more challenging but could be done at administrative levels to do it, and things that are more aspirational, I would say. And potentially that could be a culture change, potentially that could be a large infrastructure change.
Here.
Right. It's the thing, it's hard because a lot of this information is unavailable. You usually have to ask someone for it. So, and Jan, can you speak to this a little bit about like access to information? Because it's like, there are certain things that, you know, like mental health is a big one where people like want to know what's going on and like external mm-hmm. review committees and stuff, but like kind of a, it's like, it's a black box.
So anything of this nature that you need, if you want to send me an email, I can reach out to the person who controls the information or data, or just send you their contact information. But most of you probably know that we have huge repository of data about students, and a lot of the survey data. We survey students in their first year, their third year, their exit survey, their 10th year, their 15th year, their 5 surveys we do now. The highest response rate is from the group of students we admit that they choose not to come here. And I think it's so guilty. We get like a 65-70% response rate from that group, and more private groups. But as long as we can share data without anybody being identified, we don't report data from outside a small market to figure out who it is. The same thing with Cornell Health or institutional research. There's a lot of data out there, so don't feel like it's not available to you. Let's just ask.
Yeah.
Because it's probably available to you in some form.
And another way is also if you're interested in a specific area, like let's say the TCAD and not being able to get it for free, like talking to the transportation chair would be a great way of getting that information because she had met with so many people involved in transportation, including TCAD. And like she has that information. And it's not that it's like unshareable information, it's just that it's not publicized.
So kind of to before we get to the sense of the original topic, it was expected from the community chairs, from the community chairs, to do their homework and meet with the people who specialize in that. For example, I have been the community, so I talked to Dan about what I could do with that, and she was specializing in that. So it was expected for them to meet with administration and administration to kind of just say, oh, we want to meet again.
Yeah, I just think like all the useful information is to publicize like what didn't happen. Because I think have ideas like that.
Yeah.
I just didn't hear that. Maybe your students are and you're in the evidence for the justice right to happen and now we all know. So we can sit writing about really 3 months of what we have to do.
Yeah.
Here's a place where we have to do that.
And there is a version of the CCCI, the 2013 version, on the website where it does list the stuff that we will not be seeing then, or we can not be seeing more on this. Good question. Do you still have a question?
Yeah, sure. So, okay,
that's
an excellent point. And as for the social administration, I kind of want to say, talking to right? But at the same time, like, I worry that, you know, university offers resistance whether or not you want to be quiet about it or not. And so one of the things I was thinking about is in undergrad, I had 3 classes and I had 3 gym and I was willing to do that. And I'm just trying to think, like, at what point would they stop taking, not taking the doctorate seriously? Because, you know, they're astronomical acts in the eyes of the person. Having that said, I do think there could be a good compromise where you could possibly partition the document and say, you know,
even if you weren't known as an
author, right,
but
right.
You don't have that.
Right.
Exactly. So saying like this, these are the big acts of the small community, and sort of have a nice clean information of all those, and kind of say this is what was trying to pass, this is why it did not work, and why it was not feasible at that time. Maybe reintroduce it. So therefore, at least the community will feel represented and satisfied to some degree, but also it gives us kind of real feasibility and
other questions?
Can I just say one? I find when it comes to students' requests, I know as the committees work, we divide the request into, and we can do this right away. We can work on this. And we did say, you know, we just don't ever think this is feasible. Maybe one example. The report at one point said, we want the university to hire a new graduate career person, one new person every year. And I remember us thinking, well, back then, even a salary line was going to take about $100,000. And a new person every year for 10 years, who I am a public man. Is that a million dollars? And so we often, I would say, Kobe, when he does that. And then when we figure out the dollar value attached to an ask, to a request, we think, can we get new money for that? Or is there a place where, with student input, we don't need to be spending on this so that we can spend on this? And I think that's one of the reasons it was so valuable to get the document and to have students turn on serve on each one of the task force. With the transportation thing, it was Helen, I don't know how to pronounce her last name, but it's S-T-E-H, Helen. I don't know how to say her last name. And I, off my head, I don't know her. But she's a transportation person, so even right now, if you have questions about the transportation issue, she's a great person to talk to, because she really worked hard on that issue, chairing the working group for the lab, for the transportation and parking.
Any other questions? Yes.
Yeah, I was also just going to ask, there was a survey that was done, to get rid of the four of this version of the algorithm. Are, statistics from that survey, included in the document, or how, have that input been incorporated?
That is a part of the problem, is that the input was not, when input was provided, it was included. But there wasn't a lot of input.
Like, how many responses did you get from the survey?
Yeah. Right. I mean, it wasn't.
Is it like the hundred?
Dozens. When it was available, the committee chairs used it. It was very valuable. But when it wasn't available, which was the majority of the cases, they weren't able to use it.
Any other questions?
Yeah. That's basically how I guess. But
we are still working on it.
Yeah, that's why it's not even close to the final draft.
Any last questions for us? If you do, feel free to email us, either one of us, and you can have on the exec.
Yeah, my email is arc326.
And let us know if you're interested, or even if you're confused as to why we keep talking about this. That's also important. Okay, thank you so much. Okay, I have been informed that the food is on its way. So,
last move at Beltway
Garage. Maybe, because they usually set it up there, so people will be bumping into it. So now we are doing division breakout. Division breakout. So, Leslie, do you want to tell us where to go?
Yeah. Professional students will come with me down here. Life science will be with Leah, who is right here in Pittsburgh. Michael will take the social sciences over here. Humanities will be with Becca. And then the physical sciences will be with Noah outside.
Thank you. go outside.
Yeah, so if you haven't previously been to a meeting, just put here that you're coming from an organization, right? So you're a tier 3-4 representative, and then what organization that is, your name. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, and I guess the answer is no.
No, like that.
I'm calling the back.
the ability to change it and make
first one, I think that would be a more. Okay. So do you think that of your field, if there's anything specific that people want to talk about?
Or like the first I don't know, I think for years, that's the best thing.
I love it.
Thank you all for your patience. Feel free to grab some food while we're still out there. But we would like to continue the meeting. We are running a little bit low on time. So this is we're going to continue on to what's the old business. Old business. And for this, we are going to discuss the resolution 1, approving the GPSA internal budget for the 2019-2020 term. And I will pass on the mic to James, and we will talk about if there are, we will discuss the resolution. Alexa, can you come do the amendment, please? Can you come do the agenda? She's going to help you.
Okay. Hello, everybody. So what you see right now on the left is the proposed resolution from last week, and on the right with proposed changes, the amendment which we'll do. We had an executive meeting, and after getting back from various committee chairs, redistributed. The funds, the total amount of the budget is still the same. However, money was moved from some committees to others based on what they needed and what they did. So, for example, Alexa informed me that she actually doesn't even plan to use any money, so that's why the executive budget has been dropped to zero. Similar to the communications budget. And based on some minor changes, this obviously has gotten a large increase based on their documentation and justification, which I appreciate. Any questions?
Yes. This question. So the total amount is the same as the number.
Yes, the total budget is the same amount.
So this is where you can ask questions, you can motion to change stuff around with the resolution. If there's a number that you still feel uncomfortable with, you can change it if there's a need to. Right. So, but we do need to make an amendment to change to approve the new numbers. So,
which element is the motion for?
Yeah, please. There's been a motion to update the numbers. Okay. The motion to change the numbers has been approved. So now we are working with the new numbers. We are bringing it back to the original resolution as a whole. Any other amendments on the resolution as a whole?
Or questions?
Or questions?
Or running into the
Okay, there's been a motion to approve or a motion to call the question. I heard a second. Is there any dissent to approve call the question vote on the resolution? Okay, I see none. Okay, so now we're going to vote on the full resolution as it is. Okay, so if you are a voting member, please raise your finger if you are in favor of the resolution as it is. And please keep them on high level. Voting members.
And if you don't have a placard, raise your hand.
Yes.
If you're a voting member, you don't have a placard.
If you're a voting member, this is for voting member only. Please come. Any opposed? Okay. The tally of the vote is 15-0-4. The resolution passes. Thank you, James. So now if you need to use the money, we can do that. It's important. Okay, next we have, we're going to go through this really quickly. We're going to have committee updates. And we'll start with the executive committee. Any updates on it?
No updates.
Nothing? Operations?
There's no updates.
Uh-huh.
The operations committee had their first meeting. And under the process, we reached out to new chairs to help with training. We
can go
over some administrative documents.
Thank you, Victoria. Communications, I believe Taylor didn't have any updates. Appropriations? No updates from appropriations. Finance Commission, Harry?
Yeah, so we had that presentation on how campus groups work last time and how you could submit budget for your group and campus groups. To get money appropriated for your group. reimbursed when you make purchases with money that is appropriate uses. So if you have any questions about that, though, I know some groups still have questions about this, so you should email Esther or myself. So my email is arj66@brunel, and Esther is EO264. I guess as this is UCI, also, if you have input as to how you want to publicize this or what is working, what's not, with the help on the campus, we also take input from that. And we're still waiting to hear back from John and Terry as to when the drop-in all that's going.
Okay, great. And you will let us know when those dates.
Yes, we will.
Perfect. Any questions for the finance minister? No, let's move on to some advocacy.
No updates, so I plan to get the ball rolling soon. So if you want to get together in the committee and advocate for students, contact me and I'll make sure that you get invited.
Can you let us know your email?
Yes, JK247. I mean, you know the rest.
Thank you. Any questions? Okay, Diversity and International Student Committee, Eugene?
Yes, just a couple of quick announcements. I believe everyone that's a member should have received an email from me, maybe last Thursday or Friday, about the building allyship event that was taking place Friday. I would say if you haven't registered yet, you should register soon because we already have over 100 people registered for that event and you might fill the room. If you're interested, please do that as soon as possible. Another event update for the near future, our community conversation series will be hosting a conversation on Tuesday, October 22nd, from 12 to 1 in 100 Man Library. The topic for that conversation will be Hong Kong, colon, democracy, and free speech.
Thank you very much. Programming.
Again,
at the RGO. So we meet
again later this week, and if anyone is interested
in programming,
so it might know KMO 287. Thank you very much, Katie. Yes. When are you going to start planning for grad? Probably soon. Maybe bringing it up in the next meeting. Yeah. Any other questions for programming board? Okay. Let's move on to faculty awards. Any answers? No, okay. The general committee, Rebecca? No? Okay. Jen, do you have any news for us from the grad school?
I really don't. We expect that the new graduate dean search will be announced by mid-November, early to mid-November, and some of you will be getting invitations to serve on the search committee. I have nothing to do with it, so you'll probably know what's going on before I will, so let me know. But I'm happy to answer questions now or later at any point.
Thank you, Jen. GCCI, any
updates? So I think you have a pretty lengthy update tonight, but I forgot to say that during the meeting, I will be sending out to some of the voting members like a draft email that you can send to your constituents.
Literally just copy and paste it and send it in a listserv, that would be amazing. And our university assembly reps, do we have any updates,
Jeff? Last UA meeting, President Pollock gave us a visit. Mm-hmm. We were questioning about the campus code of conduct that we're currently revising. Current timeline is we're hoping to modify it by May. It seems long, but it's actually rather ambitious. President Pollock and the UA shared this idea that they want to separate their campus code of conduct from a student code of conduct, and then also a free speech / rights for all faculty, staff, students, and employees. And so they're working on those aspects right now.
Okay.
Nothing else. Yeah.
Okay. Shane and James, and Jason and CCU, do you guys have any other updates?
No, CCU makes a good progress.
Okay. Can you remind us what the CJC is stands for?
Codes and Judicial Committee.
Okay, perfect.
So it's a subcommittee of the UN that's doing more than 80 years of stuff.
Right. Okay. Thank you. Alex.
Do you have a timeline on that? That's what the timeline comes up. But this round is renovation.
I mean, every year.
I don't know. It just feels like it's always being.
Yeah. But there should be something.
Yeah. So they can get into the progress report by December. And they really want it to work.
So they're
going to. So we'll be done then.
Okay. Thank you, everyone, for your updates. We can move on to open forum. Yes, Alexa.
If you aren't receiving emails before, if you don't have placards, please come see me. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, we'll go with Ariel on the now.
So my department, plant biology, historically hadn't allowed grad students on our faculty search committees, but now they are for the first time. And so we can actually have a lot of input, including that they're using for the faculty search. So if you're from a department where you have had grad students on faculty search committees and or you have a really good faculty search user, if you could reach out to me, that would be awesome. My email again is arj66. Thanks.
Thank you. Alex?
So you can come up and ask
me. You can put it over there.
Yeah.
So on the 18th, we, the exec team, part of the exec team and I, will be going to Princeton to talk to other delegations from other institutions. It's called the IB Plus Summit. And this is where all the delegations from all the IB schools plus MIT, you and the University of Chicago, thank you, come together and talk about issues that affect graduate and professional students. And I'm not just saying this to brag that we're going to go to Princeton. We actually have a slot for two people. So if you're interested in going, do let us know. This is on the 18th. We're going to spend the weekend at Princeton, and you come back on the 20th. Priority will be given to students who have participated in GPSA before. And that's because at PC Bench, we go to different sessions where you have to be informed of what the university does. Like, you have to be able to be pretty well versed, like in assistantships or even the union or different things like mental health. So that's why priority is given to people who have had experience with the GPSA. But again, this is open to anyone who is interested. We will send out a reminder, but if you would like to join us, I think we're going to carpool and accommodations are taken care of. So we will probably just need like money for food. So if anyone, right, most meals are included. So I mean, like if you stop at a gas station to get some snacks, that's probably not good. But let me know if you're interested. ALB445@cornell.edu or any of the exec people know. And again, there's room for two. So that's what I was going to say. I do have any questions about that. If not, you can email me and ask me what the item class is again or how to get involved with that. And then I think Jan was going around telling people about this flyer. So the deadline is coming up for, this is the Student Child Care Grant Program. The deadline is on October 30th. And if you know anyone with family who can benefit from this, definitely tell them about it. Take a poster. We will send out a poster, this flyer through email. So forward it to your departments. That way they can take advantage of this really great resource and fill out the application, because we do offer some grants to people who need child care. So that was my update. And then I thought, Noah, do you have another update?
I have a question.
Sure.
Follow up from me. Okay. Mm-hmm. Is there any way that you can newsletter
is still a thing?
Because they asked around in my department, and we are getting that, and no much yet. We should know about it as well.
Hello?
So there will not have been anything over the summer?
And currently, because we don't have a lifetime of those communications, there isn't one, but so we're working on getting it.
Because I know there's someone mentioning that
and there's nothing else for our department. Great. Yeah, so there hasn't been one sent back. So that's, yeah. Okay. Yeah, does that answer your question, though? Oh, perfect. Any other things I need to say on the phone? We'll go with Alex and then
you. Oh, I'm at topic. Do you know when we kind of set up the next
Eugene, did you have something?
Yeah, I don't mean to ruin anybody's dinner, especially realizing that it got here so late, but I would like the assembly to consider not ordering from Papa John's in the future, as that company, and Papa John's himself in particular, known to spend racist and sexist and promote a culture that is toxic and sexist in their organization. So I think that peace culture is possible, that perhaps we should consider
okay, thank you very much. That is duly noted. Thank you.
I would have
Yes?
I would have just said ordering from the Papa John's more expensive than most of the other options, but it doesn't feel good. So, why spend more than you have to grow?
Okay. Thank you very much.
The thing was when Casey Todd didn't deliver, they forgot. Papa John said they could get it from their friend.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Not to refute anything Eugene is saying.
Jeremy, did you have something to
add? I did, yeah. So this is stupid. I'm looking at designing environmental analysis. This is stupid. We made a documentary about the environmental associations in Las Vegas. Maybe a 40 minutes. But this is like a stupid documentary. And we sort of have this idea of like, if anyone else wants to come up, you know, documentary, social environmental issue, come and talk to me. Maybe we can do like a joint thing. My net ID is JEF269.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Any other open forum? Okay, the next thing on our agenda is adjournment. There's been a motion to adjourn. Any second? There's been a second. There's been a second. Any dissent? I see none. The meeting has been adjourned. Have a great fall break.
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.